My name is Eddie Perfect, and I wrote the music and lyrics for Beetlejuice the Musical.
Which is, of course, making its world premiere here at National Theatre, which is so exciting. I know Tina Fey brought Mean Girls here to start. West Side Story started here. I don't know if you knew that. So there you go. Yeah, he's like, I heard this. I heard things.
Yeah, and My Fair Lady, too, apparently. So, you know, no pressure.
You're in good company. Yeah. I think you'll top them all. No, of course. I mean, obviously, your contribution to this is what's going to make this probably the most different from any Beetlejuice, you know, from the movie. You know, you've probably answered a million questions about the movie. We're not going to ask you about that. But what is so rich about the story that lent itself to music so much? I mean, remember that Tim Burton visual style, but when you're sitting there and you're like, ooh, I'm picking up this idea for a song and this idea, you know, why is it so rich for that?
Well, because it's big storytelling. It's every character is so well crafted and larger than life, and they seem to have their own groove and their tempo. Like, you know, everyone remembers that iconic scene of Beetlejuice kind of like grooving his way to the brothel, and you know, Lydia's sort of got that dark angst, which feels so perfect for like teenage angsty bedroom rock, and you know, the Maitlands are so relentlessly middle class and boring. The Dietzes are so ridiculously yuppie, socially mobile, upper class, tasteless people. Everyone in there is so big and so fascinating, and it's a world where literally anything can happen, which is so exciting for music. It's a real challenge for music to be able to take it to any place you want it to go. Beetlejuice sings across maybe 15 genres of music in his first song.
Rapid fire, what are some of those? 15.
Well, okay, so we've got, starts with a Requiem classical funeral march, it goes into ska, it goes into like rock, and then there's folk, and then there's death metal, and there's big band swing jazz, and then there is sort of stepping, kind of like cheerleading music, Jamaican dance hall, back to rock. And then a fusion of all of those. So maybe like kind of like 10. Maybe I exaggerated by...
All in the opening number.
In the opening number,
which
yeah.
is called?
It's called the whole being dead thing.
Well, of course. That's the... then take a quote, make it... Well, I mean, I've talked so... tell me, I want to go into some more of the numbers because, I mean, a lot of shows we show up here in National Theatre, you know, they're old musicals. We know and love them. This one, that's the excitement of a world premiere. We're not going to know any of these things. So... highlight, you did a great job breaking down the opening number, but highlight another one maybe midway through the show that we're going to love. Or a personal favorite of yours.
Well, I've got a few favorites in there. I mean, I really liked writing for Lydia a lot because, you know, the angsty... We go a little bit more into the psyche of Lydia Dietz and why she's strange and unusual and what it is about her... specific personal circumstances that makes her a bit darker and why she's so fascinated with the macabre. And that was really good because, you know, I basically got a chance to write my wife's childhood into the character of Lydia Dietz.
Your wife's childhood? Mm-hmm. Explain what you mean.
Well, my wife had a pretty difficult childhood. She, without going into huge details, she had like kind of a difficult family situation growing up, and she had this experience of being... invisible and seeing kind of like most of the world as sort of phony, and she like kind of walked around with that kind of angst for a really long time, what it was like to be ignored, what it was like to feel invisible, and all of those things that Lydia has as well. So it really helped. I mean, Lydia is the culmination of a huge amount of conversations with my wife about how, you know, teenagers can go off the rails, but there's still a kid in there who needs love and attention and who needs to be seen.
So, which musical numbers deal with that journey? On Lydia's side.
Well, she has a song called Invisible, which actually is in the middle of the opening number, and is a bit of a risk because it's suddenly this very quiet number from this little girl. We've done it a bunch of times in workshops and developments and shown it to kind of groups of invited people, but this first preview on the 14th of October is our first chance to see whether any of this stuff works and whether she translates as a character. So it's pretty exciting, but it's also terrifying.
I assume your wife will get to... What did she... I mean, I guess I'm sure she's heard some of the songs you've been playing it around the house. Or explain sort of how that... Because I think that's a fascinating little angle. What's her reaction to that?
Well, you know, the way I write is I record and then record as I write, and then I make kind of demos out of them and often bounce them down, put them on CD... have them in the car, listen to them, make adjustments to them by having them outside my head. I feel like I can be the most objective a writer can be about their songs. So as a consequence, my kids have listened to all the demos, all the versions of Beetlejuice, and as my wife has. But she came and saw the final run-through in the rehearsal studio, and I was like, oh my God, this is probably... She's aware of the show, but seeing it all together, it was a really emotional experience. But thankfully, the way that the show is structured is that, you know, there are moments of, like, real sadness and grief, but then it just... Beetlejuice comes and just undercuts it with something horrendously wrong and crass and funny, and so the whole thing is in this great funny sad balance all the time. So she really loved it, you know, and it's nice to have a bit of her enshrined in there. There's stuff, you know, there's real stuff from her life inside the song, so it's a really lovely thing to see.
That's where the best stuff comes from, man, right? Yeah. The best art comes from that stuff,
right? So. What you know.
Exactly. So yeah. Thanks for writing what you know, and I'm sure we're all gonna love it. So
cheers, Jason.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
You too.